This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, April 22nd, 2010.
I'm excused.
We can't amend charter. Number 14. Here. Okay, no, thanks, Steve.
Excuse.
We'll see if more people.
Excuse.
They're coming late. What are they all doing?
No, that's John. That's one.
Excuse.
Great. So as you can tell, President Salem is not here. He's fighting a parking ticket, so I will be taking over for the day. Yeah. First up on the agenda, open microphone. So if anybody in the audience has anything that they want to address to the student assembly that is not currently on the agenda, please come on up. You can just state your name and affiliation.
Check them, make sure that they come. Can you do that? Yeah. Can you check them and make sure that they come? Check them and the whole day.
Great, fantastic. And thank you for all the leadership you've given over the last year. It's been a real pleasure to work with you. Anybody else? Great. First up on the announcements and reports is a Campus Life Student Advisory Committee report. The Campus Life Student Advisory Committee is currently looking for people to sit on the committee next year. I think they're especially targeting underclassmen who live on campus. So if any SA member or a newly elected SA member is interested in joining this committee, I highly encourage you to get in contact with Adam Gitlin, who can give you more information.
Yeah, at the meeting we discussed
Great. And if you're interested, please get in contact with Adam Gitlin. Next is the accreditation committee report. So as you folks, I think we had a presentation from Dean Mathias and Dean Hubble last semester about the progress of the accreditation committee. Because I'll be leaving at the end of the year, I've talked to Vince, and he's kindly agreed to step in and serve as the undergraduate student representative on the accreditation steering committee. They have a site visit coming up in spring of 2011, which is a very big deal. So if you have questions or concerns, either talk to myself or Vince. End of the year summaries from Vince Andrews.
Yeah, okay, this is about two things. One, the newsletter. I really want to get that out by the last week of classes, because after that it'll be too late, obviously. Please send me your summary by tomorrow night if you want them to be in the newsletter. 200 words. It's really quick, and the more that we get, the better. And if we get a lot of good summaries, we may expand the newsletter, as need be. Also, everybody should submit something, because we'd like to try and create an end of the year type, what did the essay do this year? So if every essay member could submit the three accomplishments which they're most proud of in their term this year by email to Nikhil and myself, also by tomorrow night, that'll give us some time to figure out how best to demonstrate that to the student body. So if you guys have any questions, feel free to come up and ask me. But it's going to be the last PR blitz probably for the last week of class.
Dining committee update by Alex Patelis.
Hi, guys. Real briefly. So we just had our last dining committee meeting. I know a few of you guys attended, and it was a lot of fun at Hughes Dining Hall. I just wanted to make an announcement of something that is pretty a particular issue for dining, and that's stealing. And I know many of you guys have heard about stealing from dining halls and maybe even witnessed people doing that. One of the things we're going to be putting together is like a little task force subcommittee for dining. And so that wasn't technically our last meeting. We're going to be having a couple more meetings before the end of the year. So if you guys are interested in thinking about ways that we can discourage students from stealing and also consequences, I would really appreciate that. So send me an email and let me know what your thoughts are.
Yes, we have a library task force update by Emily Cusick. Representative Gibbon?
For these jobs, school, hotel school, and IOR schools with review, is it possible to get a student or two involved in the review process? Because I know a lot of students are concerned that there will be substantial changes.
Representative Smith. Any other questions for Emily Cusick? I have actually one. So how many more meetings do you have this year? Okay. Yeah, that's fine. And then in terms of representation for next year, do you guys just keep in contact with Adam Gitlin about student representation next year, just to make sure that we maintain that relationship. Great. Thanks. Just a quick Joint Assembly's Multicultural Issues Committee update. We had a meeting last Tuesday where we sort of followed up on a lot of the projects that we've been sort of undertaking, including the Bias Response Program, which has kind of been, those sorts of incidents have been in the news lately, so it's especially important to look into that. And then Darren Jones, who's the other co-chair, and myself are meeting, as well as Vince Andrews, meeting with Provost Ken Fox tomorrow, I believe. So if you have any concerns that you want us to raise to Provost Fox regarding multicultural issues, please get in contact with us. Any other announcements or reports? All right, moving on. Packed agenda says Resolution 65, Revision of University Inclement Weather Policy 8.2. So this is unfinished business, so we'll be voting on this. Okay. Speak up a little bit. So we'll talk about Resolution 66 first, and then move on to 65. All right. So anybody want to speak on this resolution?
Yeah, I mean, I was involved back in the fall with disability issues and disability accessibility, and I think that something that we all kind of wonder in all these snow day scenarios when we don't have a snow day is how people are getting around, especially. People who are traveling a long distance, staff members, and those who are disabled traveling around on campus, students and staff. So I think both these resolutions are great. I'll go ahead and call 66 to question.
Great. Yeah. All right, so there's been a call to question on 66. Is there a second?
Second.
Great. We'll do a hand vote on this one. So all in favor of resolution 66, please raise your hand. Aye. All right. 11 in favor. All those against? Yeah. Abstentions? Do we have one?
Yeah, because you're 12.
Oh, I am 12. That's right. Yeah. So 11 to 0 to 1, I guess, abstention. So resolution 66 passes.
All right.
Resolution 65, revision of university income and weather policy 8.2. Do you want to speak on that at all, or do you want to move to discussion? Okay, great. All right, Representative Akinpelli. Has it been a call to question? Is there a second?
Second.
All right, all those in favor of Resolution 65?
Point of information.
Sure.
It says it's a legislative action. Is that true? Do we have legislative authority over student disability services?
That was 66.
66, right. We're on 65. So all those, there's been a call to question. All those in favor of 65?
It should have been a recommendation. Yes.
Okay. 11. All right. 11. All those against? Abstentions? 1. So 11 to 0 to 1. This resolution passes. All right. Moving on to resolution 72. Are there sponsors here? Sponsors in... Are you sponsoring?
Yeah.
All right. Resolution 72, SASD guidelines reform. So if you want to take 2 minutes and then we'll open up to speakers list. Move on? Yeah, sure. All right. Resolution 73, Appendix B revisions, DP Basel.
You can't do this yet. I guess we could start talking about it. It shouldn't be.
You want to move on then?
Yeah, let's go on and come back. You can do the SS special projects, right?
Yeah, let's do that.
No, let's also try to change.
Also charter change. Okay, so because a few of these are charter changes, we need 2/3 of all those on the SA to pass it, so we'll keep moving on until we get 2/3 of those in this room. So we'll move on to new business. As Colin isn't here. 75, 76. All right, resolution 72nd. Requesting information from Cornell Dining.
I can present 72. Okay.
It's a questions only.
Oh, it's questions only. All right. So we'll go on to resolution 75, appendix.
Can I move it to new business?
All right. So there's been a
unfinished
business of the day.
Yes, business of the day.
All right. So yeah. Okay. There's a motion to move it to business of the day. Is there a second?
Second.
Great. All right. So resolution 77, we'll take care of that now as business of the day. So if you want to go up and present.
Point of information. This is not a charter amendment. This is an information request.
All right, so that's where we're going.
Okay. No, I know, but I
no.
More of the best. This is part of the amendment.
So 2 minutes?
We believe that as a people, we know we have a right to know how much
So, as an organization, we also want to provide an outlet for students to spend their extra, you know, money, which they might not feel that they need to help them. We want to provide an outlet. So we're extending this as an option for them to actually spend in DRD and donate to us, and we will distribute this excess to the grid area. And now we will discuss the distribution and where they're going to be.
Thank you. So we'll move on to the speakers list right now. First up is VP Basil.
Yeah, so I think this is great. I'd also encourage, I guess this is more for Adam, you know, the information that we garner from this survey to coordinate with Alex and I guess John Rao next year about just sort of looking at this from a dining committee perspective. Because for everyone, especially freshman representatives, when you think about it, you know, really only freshmen are forced to buy meal plans. And the meal plans that you purchase as a freshman are pretty much all of these, you know, elaborate, expensive meal plans that have hundreds of BRBs and, like, numerous meals per week. So, in essence, if you guys find statistically that there are a lot of these BRBs that are being left over, in effect, what that is freshmen being subsidizing the cost of meals for the rest of campus, which isn't necessarily fair. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, dining recoups losses through things like theft, you know, and other things through higher meal prices and higher food costs. So the money's going to come from somewhere, but I think it's good to sort of take a good hard look at, you know, the way they're gathering funds, whether that's kind of honest. So, yeah, I guess I'll let you know. You want to
Thanks, VP Wattella.
This is definitely information that you can get from Cornell Dining. You should definitely email, you know, the individuals there, and I can be more than happy to give you their contact information. But as far as going and buying buying meals and food items at the end of the semester with your money for other individuals, that's an issue that you'd have to take up with New York State, because New York State gives Cornell Dining a certain amount of money, and the food is untaxed. So when you go there, you're buying untaxed food. You also, it's illegal for you to buy meals and buy food for other individuals, so including your friends. So you can't just walk there, you know, with two meals and hand it to somebody. That's technically legal. Okay. For themselves? Because... There's also some stipulations with that. That's also illegal. I'm going to give you someone's contact information. She can explain to you, you know, the whole process of going about that and why it actually makes more sense to give your own money, because it is less expensive for those food shelters to purchase through wholesale and retailers. But her name is Therese O'Connor. If you can write this down. Which is not actually allowed.
Great, thank you. Next up is Matt Danzer. There's been a call to question. Is there a second? There's a second. All right. So would the clerk please call the roll? By a vote of 12-1-2, this resolution passes.
No, you need 16 left over. This is oh, no, no, so this? Yeah. Wait, what are you talking about?
I'm going to put this resolution.
That's just majority.
Yeah. All right, resolution 75, Appendix B changes by Matt Danzer and Mike Wacker. So I'll give you guys 5 minutes because it's a new business, and then we'll open it up. Just remember, because this is new business, You can only ask questions, and we'll save the debate for next week. So 5 minutes. One minute. I'll open up the speakers list. First up is VT Basil. Remember, keep it to questions only.
Yeah, so I guess this is just more of a comment than a question, but I really like the balance that you guys struck between, what we talked about, which is essentially, the competing interests of recognizing that some discrimination occurs naturally when you're choosing somebody as a leader of your organization versus protected clauses. So kudos.
Great. Representative Smith.
Partly we were saying that it seems like it's a little bit being a technical question about the part of the entire resolution, which one I have to do. Essentially, it says organizations can be uniformly as a belief or conduct. As a prerequisite for obtaining some or all the rights of general members or next board member perspective. So, an organization is allowed to create standards, whether or not that they make a written statement that they have to sign or some sort of, you know, general guidelines that people can follow. So long as that standard.
30 seconds.
Okay, so long as those standards are protected by the First Amendment and in the context of a public university and known as meetup, for instance. So it goes into the gray area between everyone gets full rights of membership and we can tell anyone we want that they don't get full rights of membership. It's a gray area where you can create standards, but those standards need to be followed.
Great, thank you. Next up is Representative Desai.
All right, yeah, so two questions. First of all, I know you guys include both of those groups directly funded by the Student Activity Fee and those indirectly funded in your main clause O, but you only specify those directly funded by subsection B. I wonder, was that intentional? So you don't want, like, FASD to set a non-discrimination clause in the charter?
Correct. I figured that as long as the FASD has one, as long as the Avis has one, as long as as long as those organizations have them, the organizations under them wouldn't someone need to follow them.
Okay.
So especially with the FASD, I was considering it more as they would create a school of their own for organizations that they fund.
What type of discrimination is supposed to eliminate, the determine the membership, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and only conditions within the organization. So I know before I expressed concern about the specific entity within the clause, and you had included a subsection C to specify that. Is there a reason you took that out?
Yeah, so when we were going through this, we decided that was in a way redundant with subsection
C. 30 seconds.
We don't need to necessarily say that both are conscious, we can only both are conscious, but subsection B is really the meat of it. So anyone can always both their conscious and vote for anyone for whatever reason. It's subsection B that really says what an organization is. So nothing we do can ever limit what an individual can believe or think or feel. We only have jurisdiction over organizations, so we try to limit it to what organizations.
Next up is VP Andrews.
All right. I'm having issues with this, with the first line in section B. Organizations may enforce uniform standards of belief or conduct as prerequisite, just because we don't know what enforce exactly entails. And so I guess I my question to you all, to perhaps more to Mike, is how, if this clause had been in place before the Chi Alpha issue, how do you see this clause playing into what occurred at the end of last year?
So, the case of Chi Alpha, like, one thing they put into is, like, you're black, you don't want to be, like, a member of black. Obviously, they wouldn't, like, be able to, like, do, like, things like that, but, like, you start, like, giving more, like, their beliefs in the sense, like, they can't, like, obviously, like, say that just because you're solely, like, gay, like, just based on that, like, against it, just solely because
30 seconds.
Then, in that case, you like finish the belief. As long as you can just relate to like belief in content and not like your standards.
Who would evaluate your standards?
Who
would evaluate any breach?
For information in section 2 of the essay.
Is the essay?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And if I can kind of just add on to that. So essentially, kind of going into the up to us as a student body, as a student that way to investigate these things and decide what they do. So what's part, what's up on the essay is that you cannot create, create a written statement that you have to sign and says, I will not be black, I will not be white, I will not be straight, I will not be gay. But they can say that you have to believe that you believe that the Bible says something. So if someone came out to an organization, they couldn't say you can no longer be an organization, you can no longer be a leader. But if someone was going, if I was elected to an organization, and then I started saying exactly the opposite of what that organization believes in, then it would give them the right to recall.
Great. Representative Brockman?
I just, I read B, and after hearing what Wacker just said, it just seems like a complete contradiction of the entire thing. It seems not only like a natural contradiction, but what Wacker just said, his impression is that if the Supreme Court decision comes out and finds that what Chi Alpha did in the context of a public university was right, then this clause just wouldn't apply to them. It seems like, Scorn told us that we have the power of the purse, and we're giving away the store. I just see that this whole compromise are protected by the first. I don't understand why that's in there. First Amendment of the United States Constitution, the context of a public university. This isn't a public university. It's like a university principle being applied to a document. I mean, Scorton told us what we're allowed to do. He said we are allowed to tell these groups that discriminate that they need to follow this policy or they don't get our money. And I think that's an acceptable response. I thought that was a good response. And I don't think this is what...
Remember to keep it to questions only.
Well, I was just following D.P. Basil's please.
Yeah, I'll respond to the So, if they are deemed to both work under the First Amendment and may not impede enforcement of Appendix B, Section 2F, if you look at Appendix B, Section 2F, and I know a parliamentarian going to be referring to other portions of the document in a document.
30 seconds.
But if you look at Section 2F, it said that you cannot violate other rules of the university. So it can neither it has to follow the First Amendment and the other rules at the university.
10 seconds.
Well, according to B, question. If you want to have a vote, right, and an organization has a policy that says you cannot believe you're a homosexual or you cannot act like a homosexual, right, believe your conduct, whatever, would that organization be able to stop just general membership on account of that from voting due to this? And I want Wacker to find it.
Just, all right, I'll give you 30 seconds and we'll move on to the next speaker.
Yeah. So if you're an organization, can you bar, make it a uniform policy saying that you cannot believe in homosexuality or you cannot act like a homosexual or you cannot participate in homosexual activities, whatever. If you do that, can you effectively bar members from voting? That's your uniform policy, according to this clause.
Well, I mean, if you're an organization that has, like, access to
In Chi Alpha.
All right, we're going to move on. If you want to get on the second speaker, we'll do that. Representative Nicoletti?
I can't get an answer.
Okay. So I have a question. First, it's with respect to Part of B. It says that the violence center organizations have to have a non-discrimination part of their constitution. So that obviously means that we're going to do violence funding in 2012 or 11, or whatever the next commission period. That means that they have this current year, the non-violent funding year, to update their constitution. So who's that is that if you finance these jobs, make sure that they do this. And also, what clause are you going to have them put in? The first clause, clause O, and the second clause.
Is there a first question? Yeah, maybe the appropriation committee to make sure that that is in there. And if not, you know, they would, you know, do that. Like, if a group wasn't including, paid for by the group assembly on their stuff, it would be just basically being paid by we're not laying out the exact, not sure the issue clause they have to include. If they want to basically copy O, that's fine. If your groups will want things that are specifically relevant to this bill, hierarchies are different, so you want to leave some flexibility there for your
questions. Okay. So just a clarification, you wouldn't fund a biological group of kitchens using the solution clause. And obviously, amending it to the Constitution is out of the price, so it takes a lot longer than just putting it into there.
Another group of Constitution is probably less time than it takes up.
Second thing is the process of actually finding out some discriminated would be some tips that came to the assembly, will be then
the
relevant investigative committee, and then once that committee is done, we'll be bringing to here in the form of resolution to find, revoke, something like that.
Yeah, the process is not, we're not going to, comb through every organization's constitution. It's basically, if someone complains that the student's office, MAO, to us directly, as long as if something comes up to us, that's when a student assembly would investigate, and the same way we would investigate any other violation of NDP for an organization.
Great. So moving on, so we have two more speakers, so we'll get through the two speakers, and then I'm going to table it until next week. So Representative Gitlin?
I'll yield.
Great. Representative Smith, thank you.
Based on what you said about the leadership protected for now is that the second question is based on what I referenced, and I think you guys are also I know the Bible is that tender and local law that we all try to have the problem if a person actually has a working job for somebody who is actually started on their own house and they find them catching them in the office and blah, how does that affect that person?
Okay, I'll go back for an order. Regarding the Tenth Commandment, if one of the Tenth Commandments impinges on one of the protected classes, that would be one thing. Lying is a liar in a protected class, so if someone starts lying, that would not be protected conduct. So, yes, you could kick someone out of your organization for lying, just as you could currently under current rules, and just as you could under Resolution 44 and stuff. As for the first question how this regulates beliefs, like whether or not beliefs actually believe something, the answer is no, you cannot actually regulate a person's beliefs. You normally regulate what they say their beliefs are.
30 seconds.
Yeah, so, what this would do is allow organizations to say, in order to be a leader in the organization, you need to sign the document that says, you either overview certain things or you believe certain things, as long as they don't violate this law. So, or any other university policies, and as long as they're within the university. So, in the Holy Trinity, and that's one of the things that you are having in your standards.
Great.
And that's fine, as long as it's not, and I don't think, of course, you can say fine as long as it doesn't violate any current rules.
Thanks. So I'm going to go ahead and table this until next week where we can have a full debate. And if there's no objection, I'm going to skip over resolution 72, 73, and 74. Do you want to do 72? Okay, all right. So we'll do resolution 72, which is unfinished business. So I'll give the sponsors 2 minutes, and then we'll open it up to debate, discussion, hopefully a vote.
Yeah, I mean, you just heard about this.
question.
I'm going to go over it really, really quickly. So basically, I'm not going to go over the publication. I think it's something that we'll have from that last week.
Yeah.
Basically, all special projects that we've been writing out for Group 1, Group 1, special projects that we're having to successfully apply for SAFD funding at the beginning of the year. What this resolution does is it'll split those people applying for special projects into two groups. One is people who originally did their application normally. The second group would be applicants who only were able to apply for administrative fees, which is basically just getting in a blank application and saying I need X amount of dollars in administrative fees and requires no additional paperwork. So this is basically kind of like a safety net for groups that weren't able to get a full application in, but we don't want them to go without funding for a semester. Like it stipulates here, they only need allowed to apply for one category of funding, so they wouldn't be able to like fully blow off their application until halfway through the semester and turn in a late application to get all their funding. But I think all that we've seen a lot of that, so if that is correct.
So because this is a charter change, we're going to need 16 votes in order to pass this, and if you can count, there's 15 members here. So it's your call. If you want to table it or... Well, okay, so first of all, if anybody wants to discuss... Any discussion or debate? Ah, great. Representative Nicoletti.
I'm sorry,
I'll round up everyone in the hall.
So currently you would have to ask the eligibility rules as part of the resolution. But basically you would have to
Not like eligibility for a special project, like what does the SAC look for in a group? Can they choose a
special project? The special project currently is if you have requested funding for a specific event and you realize that, oh wait, now I need a little bit more to run my event, then you one time you can apply to special. So you've already been granted money for it to put on that event, and then you need, you know, extra more that you can continue to put on that. Or if, for example, you're a sports team and you made the final round in your competition, and you need money to travel to that final round, then you know all the budget. But this will allow you to apply if you successfully completed an application and you have new expenses in a new project.
I bring up an excellent point. When you guys asked the from the resolution, first of all, the beginning of the eligibility criteria, it's in March that all groups will have to show that there's a change in circumstances and that distinction is kept later between the two types of groups. So
30 seconds.
That are applying for new circumstances, which is basically the same as someone who applied in the past, still need to provide documentation that they did not originally know about those events, whereas your special on the new category we created don't have to provide the documentation. So it still keeps the boundaries from the test purposes.
Great.
Just also to clarify, this is not creating multiple funding periods. Purely a first step measure towards that direction, but you still have to have completed a successful SAFD application within that first.
And I'm sorry, I misread this. So this actually just requires majority. Resolution 73 and 74, yes. I'm sorry about that. Resolution 73 and 74 require two-thirds of everybody for 16 votes, but this only requires a majority. So are there anybody else want to get on the speaker list, or shall I move it, call it to question? All right, I'll call it to question. Could the clerk please call the roll?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Yes.
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 Do you want to go?
Yes. We'll do something about it in a few seconds.
All right, great. By a vote of 15 to 0 to 0, this resolution passes. Next up, Resolution 73, Appendix B revisions by VP Chris Basil. So this is unfinished business, so I'll give you 2 minutes and then open up for debate and discussion.
So I'll go ahead and
So we had the list somewhere. There we go. Representative Brockman?
Yeah, my question is going to be on Part A. Also, are we doing anything about the ticket? That part two?
No.
Okay.
Basically, the ticket clause is there to replace several clauses that were written in the organization-specific guidelines for TPC and I think a couple other organizations. But anyway, so this clause already tracking moves the line of tickets for the journal guidelines. This is something where, you know, as it is written in section 2F, which we just talked about for R75, the appropriate committee of oversight for policing violations of the rules, this is something that I think should be written in, but where it won't be policed because that would be ridiculous to throw away 30,000 tickets if they haven't been used. So that's something where I trust that one kind of comment. But I think in terms of like a rule to put in, I think it should have that on there. That's always been the case.
So because VP Basil made an amendment, the SA's got to approve that amendment. So I'm just going to ask, if there's no objection, we'll just agree to strike Section 3, Part A, the
The part that reads, each organization shall be primarily student-read, student-run. Student-led and student-run. All right, seeing none, that amendment passes. So going back to, and by the way, if anybody in the audience wants to speak on this amendment, just raise your hand and we'll get you. Sure. So next up is Representative Desai.
So, just going off you know, the Mary sent just to make sure that the has a voice heard we could come. I think one of Mary's issues with the student run thing wasn't that it was already in the SDK, but was that she felt that cinema didn't need to be completely student run or less. And then she also had issues with the separate bank account clause, so if you could just provide your rationale or the appropriation committee's rationale saying to those. And then I had a student ask me about the
For the primary student run life clause, in Appendix A, the way that it's written is in order to become eligible to receive FAF funding, you need to be primarily student run led. The SA and the president exempt you from that requirement. And so essentially, cinema like Club Insurance or you know what we did with the Great Bikes to prove their eligibility. Cinema is essentially grandfathered in for not having a student run led. So stuff like that, you know, that's already taken care of here. For the separate bank accounts, that's a judgment call.
1 minute.
Yeah.
And then the other question for a different group, I just had a student ask me about the next FAS amendment. I'd love to get you to address it about how my next FAS.
Yeah, so again, both CPC and next FAS, I guess, student relations this year felt like the mandate that they work together, putting on concert, wasn't a good idea for both organizations. Alana's advisor is right now seeking the best management committee. I don't know exactly what word, but essentially he goes, you know, sort of the point man for any kind of big concert before. But Alana will have that capability in the future on their own, obviously. Obviously, CCC has a lot of sort of internal expertise in putting on concerts. So the hope is that some kind of close working relationship
great. Committee member?
Yeah,
we'll move on. You can get on the second list. Please state your name and year for the record.
My impression from my experience is probably a procedure that
30 seconds.
Not on the essay, but speaking privileges associated with that. I just felt this project clearly given the sudden and cursory way which has been announced. In regards to how do you feel about the application of this is bad governance, pure and simple. Politicians have nothing else, I hope you, to long apart about the implications of these disparate changes that almost everyone, so small in context of this overall resolution, signifies huge changes in the practice and purpose of many organizations. And this is not, these are not decisions made lightly or just sort of amalgamated together.
Great. Thank you. So I'll give VP Basil 30 seconds if you'd like to respond. No. All right. Next up is Representative Smith.
This is a question more on the question on the side. Point of information first. Is this a question?
No. So this was presented last week.
Right.
So this is unfinished business. That's correct,
great.
Yeah. Okay. It's a debate and discussion.
Got it. Okay, so can you tell me when you started communicating with Prime Minister Minow after that last Buffalo meeting to get something for them about that?
I emailed Mary with this change that we can have to.
Okay. And when did she suggest that?
An hour ago.
Okay. So my point is, when it came time to make changes and revisions to this document and about the government report of cinema, that you would be in constant communication with Chris Basil and whoever else was working on that topic. And since he did, at least email the revisions, the proposal revisions to you and only got response today for the day it's going to be voted on, then I think that that's a problem with that. I think it's a problem with that. Because he did
30 seconds.
My other question would just be, I know that, you know, she's married to talk about the 10 bank accounts that they have right now, Love Day. So I'd like to know if this one university bank account or whatever that's supposed to be created, how exactly would you go about doing that growth that other money goes to the account in the ground?
So I'm not sure what these kind of accounts are, but basically, the idea here, you know, if you all remember from last semester, is that we're confronted with the budget, which is mainly confusing and difficult for us to wrap up all months around. So, what I wanted to do for this resolution in this change here is to make it easier for us to associate the parts of Cornell Center's budget that are flowing from the connectivity fee and those money that are spent that are flowing from other sources. So, obviously, when all money flows into one account, it's impossible, money is fungible, it's impossible to tell what dollar is coming from the connectivity fee and what dollar is coming from ticket revenue. So when we were told, for example, last semester, that no connectivity fee money is going to pay for staff salaries, it's impossible for us to make any judgment call on that claim one way or the other, because we have no way of knowing. So what we set up here is we set up a system where connectivity fee money will go to one account, it will be used for operating expenses, and they can do whatever they want with their other kind of bank account. So I'm not sure if they're using these accounts as expense related accounts instead of income related accounts. I mean, frankly, I'd like to use them with two bank accounts instead of 10, but if they'd like to put their money how they want, that's okay. So really, all this comes down to is our ability for the next violent funding cycle to, when we receive a budget for Cornell Cinema, we can say to ourselves, okay, we paid $130,000 into Cornell Cinema each year. We can see exactly what our money is buying, and we don't have to look at a $500,000 budget and kind of wonder, okay, we're providing programmatic support.
Thanks. So next up is Representative Micheletti.
30 seconds.
The SA appropriations committee, and this is something that, will help by the committee of that changes, but has never really provided adequate oversight about funding groups. Greg did a really good job starting that last year, but it's really going to be a first step. I think it's going to really fall upon you to continue that and really improve that process, sustain that dialogue in a non-bottom line year. And I think hopefully we'll come out of that dialogue, because this, again, we're entering a territory we never have before, will be some kind of experience, okay, we've actually seen the type of violations we might want to see, what's a good idea for doing that, and then sort of look at doing the guidelines that would be more concrete about types, levels of fines and how we need to investigate.
Thanks. So moving on to DP Andrews.
Yeah, so are there any other violent crime organizations in the audience or representatives of violent crime?
I got an email from Ava asking about the $7,000 cap, and I responded and we responded.
Yeah, and so what level of transparency, like how many emails did you send out emails to all the other organizations on campus?
The email with the paramedic speech when I asked today, something that was later than I would have liked. But as I said, Cinema was really the only substantive change that we were making. I didn't know Mary that we had to go with you.
And then, yeah, so Ian, yeah, I mean, please come up if you'd like to explain the transparency issue here.
I just have to clarify, Mary has been just having the country yesterday. She was mandated by the whole situation for, I'm not sure exactly how long, but she has been sort of away for the last more than a week.
Okay, and then just to address get to the issue, how does a separate bank account, which doesn't restrict how you spend the money really, affect Cornell Cinema as an organization?
I mean, I can't speak quite so much to this much authority. I primarily am the Department of Public Affairs, so I'm not but in this industry, I'm
Thirty seconds.
And did you try to reach out before Appendix B will run news? Did the Cornell Film ever try to reach out to Chris Basil asking him when the changes were going to arrive? So you never contacted us either? Just trying to get the transparency issue right.
Great. Next up is Representative Danzer.
Yes, I'm going to actually I feel like every time we try and change something with the Cornell Cinema, they tell us something different. When we were talking about funding, whether or not, who sends the money to those certain things, we were told that all the money that Cornell Cinema has is one big pot. I don't know what comes in and what goes out. Now we're told that they have an bank account. I assume when violent funding is occurring, we ask for their financials. So tell us their financials. Having a bank account, what money goes to a bank account is fairly important to know about it, that organization is used to fund, and that we're not told that information in the first place is trusted. Then there's the issue of, I understand that the hair is very different, that can pose problems. I'm also not sure if we should have any access to the entire crime, but let's assume we had zero access to the internet while she was stuck from the volcano. I think that these changes are reasonable. I think it's reasonable for people suddenly to know where the money is going. I assume that by pulling money out of the bank account, they can consolidate and not have to increase the number of bank accounts to simply identify which bank account is holding student money. And I think that, as for the parliamentary procedure or not, amending big things at once, this is not exactly an amendment because this is actually a really passage of something that would expire at the end of the semester if we didn't do this. So it's more of a superseding, I would say, than an amendment, and that you can do all at once. So,
30 seconds.
I support this fully, even, especially the changes for Cornell.
Great. Thank you. So we're going to move on to the second speaker's list, unless somebody who hasn't spoken wants to speak right now. Great. Moving on, Representative Desai. Going to call to question. Is there a second? All right. So again, because this is a charter change, we need 16 votes to pass. So would the clerk please call the roll? I'm sorry. If you have, if you want to say anything for a minute in closing, no.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That was a yes.
Yes.
Yes. I'm sorry, could you just, so what's the vote tally right now? 13, okay. And how many passes or abstentions? Two passes and okay.
Nikki passes for a second.
So I'm sorry, Representative Gitlin's turn.
Take your time away on Nikki.
Yeah, he's right.
Take your time, yeah. Oh, okay. She just passed the bathroom.
This is interesting.
So far.
Yeah, I haven't abstained. She just skipped over so at the end it comes. Right? Sure, there's a point of information.
You can always make one.
Oh, there's a real, I'm sorry, there's a real point of information.
Yeah, this doesn't get the required 16 votes, is it off the table or is it not passed?
I will defer to Parliamentarian Cohen for a detailed parliamentarian explanation.
So, okay, basically, if it doesn't pass, then this meeting you can't consider it again unless one of you moves the motion reconsidered. However, at the next meeting of the Student Assembly, you would be able to bring this question again, though.
basically without it being changed. Although, there, I think there might actually be a charter restriction on that, but I'll check that over for you.
Great. Hang on, I'm just going to step in right now. The vote is, 13, right? And Representative Drunowitz is proxying yes. So you can mark it down as a yes. Yes, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's 14. Great. So 15, and as the chair, I will go ahead and vote yes. Oh, great. Hey, that's awesome.
I mean, you said you're going to vote yes.
16? With or without my vote?
She proxied yes.
With Nikki, but without my vote.
She's on her way.
Okay, all right, so by a vote of 16-0-1, this resolution passes. That's exciting. I'll open up the speakers list. Anybody want to debate or discuss this resolution? Folks? Just to clarify, this is Rami's javelin. He gave it to me. So any debate or discussion? All right, seeing none. So there's been a call to question. Is there a second?
Yeah.
Great. So would the clerk please call the roll? And once again, we need 16 votes to pass. Resolution 74.
Yes.
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 Wait, my vote is 16-0-1. This resolution passes. Me? Okay. Great, my vote is 16-0-1. Resolution 74 passes. So moving on to new business, Resolution 81, Charter Revisions. Parliament, I'm sorry? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so we'll do Resolution 76 and get back to you. That's all right. So two minutes on Resolution 76. Once again, this is new business, so this is no debate or discussion, just questions.
Yeah, I'm really glad you just looked at the changes. In Section 2, groups no longer make their final bylaw amendment request in the spring. It's not a voluntary request. It's meant to final request in the fall. This is coming out of a lot of production by the country. In Section 3, I added mandatory meetings for bylaw amendment groups with DB Finance, minimum 1 week for the deadline, where the DB Finance will approve their budget format as well as detail and then just go to the process groups. And then in Section 4, again, I added a requirement down there at the bottom about groups having to provide. This is something that I requested as optional. I'd like to make mandatory for 2 years. It is 10, 25, and 35 to break down. So if anyone has any questions on that,
Great. So I'll open this up for questions. Representative Smith?
I'm glad it's going to be
you know, the guys being
yes, I'm going to be confused by just a complicated budget.
Right.
So the idea here is that provide an appropriate level of detail for the members. So, you know, groups also like that, groups can't just submit the university website to the reporting system. So that basically is an online account that has like half every dollar that has student money. But literally, like, the average bank that has student groups, and some groups just can't it. And so it was really no use to me at all. So this will force each committee to sort of analyze the budget, present it in like a clear, readable format, judge different scenarios of spending, if they have spent 10% less, 25% less. So it's forcing them to take a hard look at where they're spending money and where they're doing it efficiently. The idea here is that overall, it's more collaborative process. It's going to be easier to find the groups. Instead of the groups being told, all right, you've got a deadline to write in. So hopefully, a lot of the, just like, a lot of the difficulties with what we're given to judge the committee will be provided with better information going into the monitoring process. Hopefully that will allow people to sort of take a better look. Additionally, what we're going to do is pass the next
30 seconds.
Mandate that the appropriate committee hears groups during non-funding years, or sorry, during non-funding years, for the short and update period. So, future vice president and lighting will be meeting with all non-funding groups next fall and then presenting reports to the FA about what they're doing. There'll be sort of more dialogue in that sense as well. So hopefully all these things together just sort of improve our oversight of proactive web these groups instead of our retroactive.
Great. If there's nobody else that's, that wants to ask questions today, I'm going to table this until next week. Now moving on to Resolution 81, Charter Revisions. Great. So, Parliamentary Cohen and Representative Danzer, I'll give you guys 5 minutes and then we'll open up for questions. And again, guys, if you could keep the side conversations down for this one, because this is a pretty comprehensive overhaul, so we need to pay attention here.
More to the mic.
Thank you.
Great. So what we'll do is we'll open up for questions right now. And again, there are a lot of changes, so I really encourage you guys to look over it over the coming week. All right, VP Andrews.
All right, so I just, you know, we talked about this before. Yeah, no, it's in there. I just wanted to bring this point out for everybody. Section 3, reporting of FAA actions, Section A. There was one other change which occurred was the President may also request reconsideration of legislation proposed by the FAA. And so that was reworded to say that if, in the old charter, if President Gordon requested for us to reconsider, he would be, he technically have to come down and present that to us. But here we changed it to shall be upon request of the assembly, shall be delivered verbally. And that was just as a discussion, it reflected more of the reality of the situation of what occurred. Technically, through our governing document, we can't really force President Gordon to do anything. But he is technically supposed to respect our charter. So it just provides legitimacy on both ends, on us, so that we don't have to enforce it every single time, but also so that if he does, if he rejects our, which I don't think he would, but if he does reject our request to come meet with us, we could kind of raise the stink about it. So on both ends, it kind of provides legitimacy. The one thing I suggest everybody to do is go line by line and just double check, you know, to see if you have any issues with the changes. A lot of them are literally just clarification, making it easier to read. But this is our charter here. This is the fundamental aspect of the student assembly. So I suggest everybody get an old copy of the charter, a new copy, and verify the two. And then finally, my question would be to Ari. Have you had a chance just to look at this? And, you know, just I'd love to hear your comments as well. No. So just for into the future, I mean, we're voting on this next week, technically. So I guess everybody needs, I mean, so it'd be great if you just address all the issues before next week's meeting.
I don't think that's possible.
You don't think it's possible?
In what sense?
In what sense?
Maybe an email.
Seconds.
So we have two extra meetings left. Is it possible to meet in 2 weeks? Can we meet up and discuss it? Okay, great.
30 seconds to the sponsors to respond.
The bylaws, Alex referenced it, but our principal
especially the way our bylaws were situated, where it required two-thirds, but only two-thirds of present members, while the bylaw required two-thirds of voting members, kind of made zero sense, creating these distinctions that, you know, shouldn't actually exist in parliamentary procedures. They were better off either, you know, those that were appropriate for lower state charter rules of the charter, and those that were better off being put into a central rules of charter for what the section would require. Regarding cross-out of the goals versus the changes were so significant that we gave you a, you know, I was on the committee that was going through this, and we actually had a document with, you know, Word, you know, annotations and strike throughs and plans for insert. And it was so messy. If you think this is a tree killer, you could have seen what that would have looked like. It was a complete mess. It would be that harder to read than what we've given you. And so if you put this alongside the current charter and just read through them, look where this is referencing and look at what this charter references, you will see why we did it this way, and you will also be able to tell what changes we made. You know, I don't think that we can, yeah, I think we're at that point where, you know, we can say, read it, we look at things, if you don't feel comfortable about something, or if you keep on getting it, and you think it was a judgment call that we made rather than a simplification.
Great. I'm going to cut you off there and just go to the next person, who's Representative Smith. One minute. Great. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to table this until next week, and then I urge, you know, any concerned people to email these guys and, like, maybe, you know, set up, as Vin said, set up a meeting over the next week. So we can have a productive discussion next week. I just really want to quickly want to get to Resolution 78, take a couple of questions, and then perhaps somebody will make a motion to adjourn. Resolution 78 is the establishment of the Student Assembly Public Service Committee. What are the odds? It's 2 minutes and then we'll...
A couple of months ago, we established a public service ad hoc committee, spending communication with over 100 senior organizations on campus related to service. We involved a lot of projects. For example, one of our organizations was on today. And in the process of working with the green community, working with the public service sector,
so I'll open up the speaker list for questions. I just have a quick question. So in terms of selecting additional members, can you talk about, you know, all the other committees are selected through the staffing committee?
Yeah.
of the student assembly. Can you just talk about?
Sure. This is not the most updated copy.
Oh.
My fault. The most updated copy says additional members may be selected by the PSD or by the assembly.
So it's an either or sort of thing. Representative Galusha. Speaking to the mic a little bit. There's been a motion adjourned. Okay. Yeah, I guess the meeting is adjourned.
Good job, Michelle. You're so good.
They have like a partial. Do you know the partial version? Like, you know what I mean?
So, is there any way? And I can go line by line and tell you exactly what the difference is.
Yeah. So I guess yeah, for my concern, okay, so if you move something, I don't care. If you add it or leave something, it's much more. So if there's a way to, like, go through your tracking and just, like, accept the movement and say that you've done that, plus you'll leave just all the other changes. Yeah. So, all right, so
yeah, the beat is getting rid of it.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.